When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priest, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Then, in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the feast, the festival of tabernacles, with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all the appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as freewill offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. Got all that? Got all those sacrifices separated and in order in your mind? I don't. There was a bunch of them. It was a complex system. After these returnees delivered their goods and offerings for the temple, of course, they went to their hometowns, maybe outside of Jerusalem, and they got settled. You can imagine, start cleaning up and reforming where they had lived or where their previous family had lived. And then in the seventh month of the year, according to the Hebrew calendar, Tishri, which in our calendar would be mid-September to mid-October, more or less. They were on a lunar calendar. In the seventh month, they came back together in Jerusalem as one, it says. They assembled as one body and rebuilt the altar on the foundations of the original and began to practice the sacrificial system to present burnt offerings to the Lord. Now, what we just read mentions the Feast of Tabernacles. So happens that always happens in the month of Tishri, the seventh month. That in the Feast of Tabernacles is one in which God commanded Moses to institute. It was when they built little huts or tabernacles. We might call it a cedar lean-to. Just some sticks covered by various tree branches, a shelter in the wilderness. That's what they remember with the Feast of Tabernacles. They remember when they were wandering around the wilderness and they lived in temporary shelters, and they remember the protection of God and the provision of God through that period. And these people who have come back to Jerusalem after exile are also celebrating the provision and the protection of God through the exile and the blessing of bringing them back home. So it's a very appropriate time to celebrate this festival on the side of the temple in a newly rebuilt altar. It says Joshua, the priest, and his helpers served along with Zerubbabel, who was the political leader, the governor assigned to Judah. Now, by the way, that Joshua is not the same one that was with Moses and took them into the promised land. That was too far in the past for it to be the same Joshua. Some of your translations may say Joshua. Don't worry about it. Same guy, okay? Just different way of saying the name. And it says, in spite of their fear of the local people, they rebuilt the altar of sacrifice, which had previously stood on these temple grounds in front of the temple building. There were probably some people there old enough to remember Solomon's temple. They had lived and worshiped in Jerusalem. And they would have remembered a grand building and a huge altar in front of the building. And you can imagine their heartbreak as they come up on the Temple Mount and see this rubble. And so they begin to rebuild with the altar of sacrifice, an act of worship. There were lots of different sacrifices. And you can read all about it in Exodus and Leviticus and through those books. Sometimes it was goats or sheep or a whole bull to be burned on the altar. Many different sacrifices to fulfill different aspects of worship. And by the way, it says, though they were in fear of the local people, they rebuilt the altar. Why would they be in fear of the people who had been living there if they were coming home to take their city? Well, it's been 50 or 70 years for these people. The folks that stayed back, that weren't exiled, probably the least wealthy and the least influential, and maybe some people who had backfilled into the area, they had to get by. They established systems of commerce, and like I said, they probably worshipped on this mount. It was a holy mountain to, still is a holy mountain to different religions. Why would the returnees be afraid of them? Well, because they're upsetting the apple cart. They're coming in and taking over, right? They're rebuilding like God told them to do, but the people who had been living there, it upsets their pattern of commerce and their power, whatever it was. And you know how we are. You know how people are. We don't like change, and we don't like people getting in our business. And so there was conflict, and we'll read more about it as we get into Ezra and Nehemiah. There's evidence that they already had an altar on the temple grounds, but it was not authorized by God. It was not built to God's standards. It wasn't a holy altar unto God. And so when they began to move back and make changes, there was friction. Use of this altar to sacrifice animals began right away in the seventh month. Daily offerings, special offerings, big offerings at the feast. All that had been instructed from God through Moses, and it was to be practiced perpetually, on and on. And you probably are wondering, why do I care about a system a long time ago? Burning animals on a huge fire? That sounds pretty foreign to us, unless it be a barbecue, right? But it was a very different procedure. Why is it important? Why did they start the rebuilding of the city with an altar to burn parts of animals? Because the system of sacrifices was action-based worship. It was a procedure to follow to communicate worship of the Lord. It was a system for the people of Israel to demonstrate their love and their devotion to God. And it was exactly the right way to start when the people returned to Jerusalem at the site of the temple. Their holy city had been destroyed 50 years earlier. The temple, the very center of their worship, had been destroyed. It was a huge, grand temple, and the courtyard there where Nebuchadnezzar's army had knocked it all down and plowed it up. And to begin rebuilding with the altar was an action to say to God, thank you for your provision and your protection. Worship. Thank you for bringing us home. And as we read through Ezra and Nehemiah, we find out that their religious system was also in shambles. The law of Moses had mostly been forgotten. Religious practice had drifted and included worship of false gods. That's the whole reason for the exile anyway. That's why the city was defeated and torn down, because they had been completely unfaithful to God for a period of time. And now, not only did the city need to be rebuilt, but the religion needed to be restored. And like I said at the beginning, here's the main point I want you to hear today. When you move to a new location, whether that's leaving home or coming back home, make it a priority to establish a practice of worship. For the people of Judah, it was the temple, beginning with the altar of sacrifice. For us, our main system of worship for Christians is the local church. And that's why we gather on Sunday morning for worship of our Lord on the Lord's Day, the day that He was resurrected. Wherever you go, find God's people and engage in worship. Learning, praying, fellowship with other Christians. If you are not involved in a local church, as a Christian, your religious practice is incomplete. It is God's institution. Jesus Christ started the church so that we would have a people to gather with and worship and carry out life and pray and learn and enjoy it together. So when you move to Texas Tech or Texas A&M or other places this summer, find a place to build an altar out of stone, get some firewood and a lamb, and burn it out there in the lawn of the dorm. I didn't hear anybody say you're going to Texas State. Stan, you're okay. You're not going to have to worry about these fires. Or your apartment complex, you know, find a spot in the parking lot, build an altar. Do you think that'll work? It's not a good plan, is it? Not a good plan. What's going to happen then? The fire department's going to come. You might go to jail for an unauthorized fire. You're going to be roasted on the internet for harming a defenseless animal. It's not a good plan. So, what is worship? If we're not roasting animals here this morning, what is worship? How should we practice worship today? Worship is the action of honor, reverence, and communicating worth to God. Christians worship the same God as the Jewish people, but we know Him as a triune God, three persons in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our worship in action is spiritually based as we seek interaction with God. We worship the Lord because of who He is and what He does. When you understand the Lord's mercy, worship happens. Ancient Israel worshiped through this system of sacrifices led by priests at the temple. Later on, they also worshiped in local synagogues, but the temple was always the destination. Let me just ask you all this question. Why do we not use this system of animal sacrifices as it was indeed established by God in the Old Testament? Why do we no longer practice this? I want an audible answer. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the system. The Lamb of God willingly went to the cross and made the system complete. There's no need for any further animal sacrifice. His blood was shed for us. And it need not ever be repeated. When you get a grip on that, you will worship. A salvation that is everlasting and is available to every person on the globe. We no longer need the temple system nor the sacrifices because Jesus fulfilled that system. He perfected it. It's no longer needed. And besides that, the temple does not exist. There is a mosque of Islam on the side. For now, So how should we practice worship of a holy God? Since born-again believers have the Spirit of God indwelling in us, the Holy Spirit residing in us, we can worship anywhere at any time. In a broad sense, our whole lives should be dedicated to the Lord. Romans 12:1, most of you know it. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." When we know the depths of God's mercy, the right response is a life of worship. Our work can be worship. Our recreation can be worship. What we call corporate worship, what we're doing here today, is an act of assembled Christians to worship together. And as I said before, it's why we call this Sunday morning service a worship service. And what do we do when we gather like this? Well, you've experienced it here, most of you multiple times. We sing praises to the Lord. We sing His praises because He deserves it. We pray to Him. We read His Word and we teach His Word. We confess our sin. And even church discipline can be worship if we're helping people get out of sin. Worship no longer has to happen in a church building or a temple. It does not involve burning animals. Our sacrifice is giving ourselves to the Lord. It's giving up our agenda for His. Here am I, Lord. Our worship is no longer confined to a sacred space. Now, this space becomes sacred to us because we practice worship here. Jesus explained to the Samaritan woman at the well that He was initiating a time when location was not the essence of worship. You remember, she said, my people worship on this mountain, but you all worship on that mountain. And He said, well, a time is coming and now is here when you don't have to worry about where you are. The worship of God will be in spirit and in truth. Our worship is based on our relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. So does worship have to be on the Sabbath or on Sunday? No. But Sunday is the perfect day for Christians to gather together and remember the day Jesus was resurrected from the grave. He proved His divinity, His power, by coming out of death on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. But our worship does not need to be confined to Sunday. In fact, if your only worship is in church on a Sunday, you're missing out. I'm glad you're here, but I hope it's not all of your worship. Our very life should be an act of worship. We are so blessed when we have salvation in Christ, because the Father has sent His Spirit to indwell us, to take up residence in us. So let us turn our hearts, our souls, our minds to Him in reverence, in thanksgiving, in confession maybe, in praise. Wherever we go, we should establish a system of worship to keep ourselves humble before God and close to Him. When you get where you're going, find the people of God and worship with them. But our altar of sacrifice is an internal one. Although it may be practiced in open and with other Christians, it begins inside us, and it must begin there. Ancient hymns were on my mind. There's another one here that I remember singing, but it's not in the hymnals that are in your pews. It's that old. Late 1800s or early 1900s. It's called "Is Your All on the Altar." Some of you might remember singing it. "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all must lay." Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when all on the altar is laid. And the chorus says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul." Music team, would you come?